now return to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
Hi, we're back. This is Candace Newton here on Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN. And we're talking with Colin Hanson, Minister of Health Services for the province of British Columbia. We've been discussing healthcare, trying to get a better picture of how we got into this situation that we're in the first place. No one person is to blame for that. It's a bigger picture understanding. We understand corporate review. We understand that sometimes it's very painful. We understand that we've got a huge challenge ahead of us as far as looking at long-term sustainability in healthcare. And that's a big challenge to yourself and your position right at this moment. But I just want to touch on a couple of areas, and one is seniors in pharmacare and women in pharmacare. If you'd like to address that, Mr. Hanson, see if there's something that you can sort of open the eyes of the general public and maybe help them understand something.
Yeah. The pharmacare is actually the fastest growing part of our budget. It goes up by about 14% a year. Wow. It's new medications, and as we get older, we consume more medications. And the system that was in place before meant that seniors would pay, well, not more than $275 a year, regardless as to what their income was. Mm-hmm. And then you wound up with non-senior families. In fact, there's one case I remember of a single mom who had a daughter that was diabetic and huge pharmacy costs every year. And yet what that mother was facing was she would have to pay the first $800 out of pocket, every penny of the prescription, starting January 1st of each year. And then the financial assistance under pharmacare would only click in at once she'd spent $800. And even then, it would only max out when she'd hit $2,000 a year out of pocket. So we restructured the system so that those with lower incomes would get more financial assistance, and those with higher incomes would wind up paying more. And 82% of BC families either paid less or the same as they had under the old system. But it did result in a system that was much more fair. So we were able to reduce the amount that the individual would have to pay for low and middle income seniors. And yes, those seniors with higher incomes wound up paying more. But we haven't had a lot of complaint from it. I think there's some people who perhaps have higher incomes that think that there is an entitlement, that because they paid their taxes all their life, that somehow things should all be free once they've retired. And we simply, as a society, couldn't afford to do that. But women do consume more medications than men, senior women in particular. And
Is that because of the challenges with osteoporosis and other diseases that go along with aging?
I think it is just it's no one particular cause, but it's just that. There are great medications that have been developed that can now save lives and allow people to live more independently and more illness-free in their older years. Mm-hmm. And we have to find ways to support those with lower incomes. And I think we've been able to do that through the pharmacare changes.
That would all of us have senior, parents, aging grandparents. I know certainly we do in our personal family that are taking, a large amounts of medication, and it is allowing them to live their life and being able to have a better quality of life. So it would make sense. I mean, that's the challenge when we're keeping people alive longer.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. We've got to find a way to be able to afford that.
But the medications are not a substitute for healthy living too.
No,
And I think it's also so important that, that everybody stay active. And I always put out a 3% challenge. We talk about putting aside a certain percentage of our income so that we can have an income when we retire. Mm-hmm. But we should also be putting aside a certain percentage of our day to make sure that we stay active and stay healthy. And because if we do, we'll be able to enjoy those retirement years.
Prevention is huge. Prevention is very, very big. I just heard, when we're talking about health and staying healthy, I just heard, this is sort of a little bit off topic, but I heard that the statistics now for obesity outweigh those for malnutrition. Just scared the daylights out of me.
It is.
And it's really like, okay, we need to do something seriously now. We have to find a way to incorporate health care, you know, physical education seriously and continue to encourage that with our children and our young people and sort of deal with these issues that we have to face now, which, you know, will in the long term cause more problems in our health care if we don't fix ourselves and become preventative. And preventative care programs are extremely important.
It's very, very true.
Yeah, it's very true. I like your principle of the 3% thing. That's very. Now, can we talk about seniors and housing and those issues as far as where we're going to place? I mean, I'm looking at going, where am I going in the next, you know, I'd say 100 years, but that'd be a lie. Where am I going in the next, you know, 20, 30, 40 years? Okay, 40 years. Where would I'm going to end up for my place to live? And how is that going to be? Is it going to exist for me?
Well, one of the things that we did before the election when we were still in opposition, Gordon Campbell led a series of dialogues on healthcare around the province, 26 different communities. We invited citizens and community groups to make presentations. One of the themes that we heard over and over again was that seniors wanted to have their independence. So it's that big fear between going from the family home into the nursing home and that total loss of independence that go along with that. And many seniors, particularly senior women, raised those issues and said that there's got to be, you know, don't lock me up in the nursing home kind of thing. And what we're developing right now, I think, is really quite exciting. And it's the whole concept of assisted living that says that there is safe housing, independent housing, apartment-like, home-like settings, but having the supports available, you know, with a call button or, you know, they can have the help that they need on the days that they need more help. More help is there, but they get their meals provided. They get socialization activities.
And they still have their independence.
But they still have their independence. And I've talked to a couple of seniors that have gone into these facilities, and they are just they love them. So we will see a lot more of that. It is a new concept. It's giving seniors more options, but. What I think we're finding is that, and it's common sense, is that seniors can live independently, providing they've got the support available to them. Mm-hmm. So in the next couple of years, you will see more and more emphasis on home support and independent living models. And I think that seniors, particularly senior women that I've talked to, love those kind of options.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, you know, we all, as I said, we all have seniors in our family, and it's very vital for them to maintain their independence. And that's important to them, that they do have those supports that allows them to have the best quality of life they can have. As you said, what's the point of helping them if we're not going to give them a good quality of life? And on top of that, what are the challenges that you see currently right now in dealing with that issue of trying to create the housing and the assisted living? Do you have challenges in front of you right now?
Well, there is. Certainly there are some that are saying that assisted living isn't adequate. I urge those people to go and actually explore that, what it is. And there's stuff online. There's certainly a couple of these facilities have now already been completed and opened to look at and see how the model works. The other big challenge is it's just you can't do it overnight, and we will be cranking out a significant number of new assisted living beds in the province. We've got sort of one block that's coming through Independent Living BC, which is where the not-for-profit sector will actually produce 3,500 of these new units, and they're funded on a income tested basis, so that lower income seniors get much more financial support to stay in these facilities. So even that they get their meals provided, they get their housing, they get their personal care, and the maximum that they would pay for that is 70% of their income. So they would still have 30% left over for the incidentals, like it may be cable vision or it may be Christmas presents for grandchildren. But
Or 3 weeks in Arizona, no.
Well, that's possible, too.
That is possible, too. We're going to be right back in just a minute and here with Colin Hanson to continue our discussion on healthcare and what's positive for the future in healthcare in British Columbia. That's here on Unlocking Secrets. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.